that song this morning, Alex. I want to invite us to open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 16, and our verse is verse 2. It's page 1007 in your pew Bibles. As we get prepared to read the word of the Lord this morning, let's go to the Lord in a time of prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds this morning, that we may understand what your word has to say, that it may minister to our hearts, and that we may grow closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 2. Hear the word of the Lord. All a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. So ends the reading of God's holy and inspired word. The founding fathers of the United States of America took an incredible risk when they signed a document called the Declaration of Independence. They took this great and personal risk for a reason. They believed that the people of this land did not need to be dependent upon the British royal crown in England. And so they were committed. They were committed to living independent of that particular king or that particular monarchy. Their desire for independence, I think, is something that all of us here, even today in 2021, can relate to. We all have within us this independent spirit, this independent desire. We like the idea of being able to make up our own mind and make our own choices, go our own way and do our own thing. I think I'm pretty safe to say that most of us don't like to be told what to do. Am I right? That's that independent spirit that lives within each of us. I know that's true for me. I don't particularly like to be told what to do and how to do it. I like to be able to make up my own mind, to make my own decisions. Independence, where does that come from? I mean, today is Independence Day, right? Where does that desire for independence, that desire to make our own choices, that desire to live like we live, where does that come from? I think if we are careful to read through Scripture from beginning to end, we'll find out that that is a gift that comes to us from God. That desire to be independent is not something of our own making and our own manufacturing. That desire comes to us from God. And our proverb this morning addresses that particular thing. And you say, wait a minute, I don't see in Proverbs 16:2 anywhere where it says independence. We'll get there. But independence is absolutely a gift from God. See, it began at the very beginning. But where we really see it to start playing out in people's lives is in the Bible. We find that God's people, the Israelites, are held captive in a particular country, the country of Egypt. They were slaves there. They were made to build buildings, to make bricks, to do the bidding of the Egyptians. They were captives. They weren't free. They weren't independent to make their own choices. And God heard their cries. He heard them wanting and desiring to get out of Egypt. And so God brought them out of Egypt and he brought them into their own land. He freed them. He gave them independence. Let's look at this proverb a little bit closer and see what it has to teach us about independence. Because with independence comes great responsibility. See, if we're independent, it requires us to look more deeply and not to make quick or rash decisions. Independence is good. It's absolutely a blessing. But too much independence is a curse. Think about that statement for a moment. Independence is good. It's a blessing, but too much independence can be a curse. The fact is, our lives absolutely need balance, and that's where our proverb comes in. That's what our proverb is pointing us towards, the fact that you and I need balance in our independence. There's this delicate balance that is between us being independent and also dependent on God alone. And I want us to think about that balance. And you know, if you think about balance, that's true in a lot of things in life. You can have too much of a good thing, right? Like, how many of us here like to eat sweets? Yeah, most of us like to eat sweets. If all you did was eat sweets, would that be good for you? Absolutely not. Here's something the most basic. How many of you drink water? Yeah, we all drink water. Water is absolutely good for you. But do you know you can drink too much water and you can become waterlogged, and that can make you unhealthy. You can get too much of a good thing. They even use it as torture. It's called waterboarding. But hey, we're not going to get into that this morning. But honestly, you can have too much of a good thing. And so I want us to think about those things as we begin to proceed with this discussion about independence. Independence is no different than anything else. Too much of it isn't healthy. So there needs to be this delicate balance that exists between dependence and independence. Our lives absolutely need balance. Our proverb says this, if you've got your Bibles open still, it says, all a man's ways seem innocent to him. All a man's ways seem innocent to him. I want you to kind of wrap your mind around that first phrase that our proverb is talking about. There's a key word in there that I want us to focus on this morning, and that is the word seem. All a man's ways seem innocent to him. What I've noticed in life is that people are more than capable of talking themselves into all kinds of foolishness. Isn't that true? We can reason our way into doing almost anything we think we want to do. We can come up with some sort of reason why what I want is the right thing. Am I not correct? We use the power of thinking. We use the power of reason, and sometimes we talk ourselves into all kinds of crazy stuff. Stuff that isn't really right, but seems right to us because that's what we desire. And there's a couple biblical examples I want to share with you this morning about people doing what seemed right to them. The first one that we come across is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. It says this, When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Now, there's some key things in there that I want us to look at. So here we have Adam and Eve, and God gave them one rule, all kinds of independence in the garden. And the one rule was, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because it will kill you. So what did Adam and Eve do? They go to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There's all kinds of, the tree of life. Remember we learned about that a few weeks ago when we were talking about the book of Revelation, and we learned that the tree of life gave 12 crops of fruit, one every month, and it provided everything a human being would need to live forever. Instead, Adam and Eve go to this tree and they look at it and they say, Boy, this tree really looks like it's got good fruit on it. It looks really nice. It's pleasing to the eye. I bet it tastes good. Maybe we should eat it. Now, I know God said don't eat from the tree, but it looks so good. A taste can't hurt, right? Just a little taste. It's not like we have to eat all the fruit off the tree. Maybe just a small bite, just a taste to see if it's really good for food. Not to mention that, you know that snake that was talking to me, he said it was good for gaining wisdom. And boy, we could use, just think about how independent we could become if we were as wise as God. Oh, that would be the best. Then God wouldn't have to take care of us. We could just take care of ourselves. I bet God would be proud of us. And so they ate from the tree. They reasoned their way. They used their powers of deductive thinking. They decided that more independence is what they needed because the one piece of dependence wasn't good or didn't seem good to them. And so they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil so that they could be as wise as God. And, well, we know the rest of the story, don't we? Then in Judges chapter 21, verse 25, we read this about the children of Israel. If you remember my earlier story about how God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, out of slavery, and put them in their own land, a land of promise, and gave them independence. And this is what we read as the children of Israel live in their own land. In those days, Israel had no king, and everyone did as he saw fit. They did what they thought was right. They exercised their independence, right? In the book of Judges, if we read the book of Judges, and hopefully you have, if you're keeping up with the daily readings, you read over and over again how people did what was right in their own eyes, and they got themselves in all kinds of trouble, and God would send a judge to rescue them out of the hands of their oppressors and set them free again. And what did the people do? They turned back to worshiping false gods and idols. They exercised their independence to do what they wanted to do what seemed right to them, and it got them in more trouble. And this happens over and over and over and over again throughout history. And if we see, this judge's cycle has continued to happen. It even happens here in the United States of today. You think about the story of independence. Why did the people come from Europe into the new land, into this part of the world? What were they seeking? The ability to worship God without being told how to. They came seeking independence on how to worship God the way they wanted to worship Him, without the crown, without a king telling them, this is how you must do it. And today, we have people repeating what we have on our screen. In those days, scratch out Israel. In those days, the people of the United States of America had no king, and everyone did as he saw fit. We don't have anybody telling us what to do, but unfortunately, we're repeating the same thing. Everyone is doing as they see fit instead of seeing God as our King and our Lord. And we're making poor choices. We're exercising our freedoms and our independence to the fullest, but we're failing to follow God's plan because we're so busy following our own. We need to be aware of our motives. We need to know that what the driving force is behind the ways that seem right to us. Way too often, we see our lives moving at full speed. And when that happens, we become human doings instead of human beings. Are you a human doing or are you a human being? I want you to think about that. I'll define those for you. A human doing is somebody that does. this, that, and the other thing. They don't have time to think. They don't have time to process. They just go from one activity to the next because they're so busy doing everything that they feel they need to get done in an ordinary day. A human being is somebody that takes the time each and every day to be human. Being is being a little bit still from time to time and not racing from one activity to another. Now, I know we're coming out of a post-COVID world, and I'm starting to see some things. You see, in our COVID world, we had to stop, didn't we? You all remember being under house arrest? Now, I know some of us are from Iowa. You didn't have as much house arrest as we did. But those of us in South Dakota, those of us here in Minnesota, we were under house arrest for 10 weeks. Remember that? Where we couldn't do anything. Restaurants were closed for longer than that. Schools were shut down. We had to be because we could not do. Now COVID is starting to become in the rearview mirror for us. And what I'm starting to see is our activities are ramping up and we're becoming doers and doers and doers and we're not taking time to be. It's like we didn't catch the lesson. We're so busy, we don't have time for this and we don't have time for that. We're going and going and going. Our lives have kicked into overdrive once again. All the things we couldn't do then, we now feel like we have to do now all at once. And we're starting to live life at a dangerous pace once again. We don't have time to think. We don't have time to ask ourselves what is right. We're becoming human doings again instead of human beings. We need to be aware of why we're allowing those things to happen in our lives. Because our proverb, if you look at the second part of it, if you got your Bibles open yet, it says, but motives are weighed by the Lord. God weighs our motives, people. I want us to think about that. God's not an absent heavenly Father. He's not just out there somewhere. He's involved in every part of our lives. He's weighing out our motives each and every day. He's looking at what's going on, and he's got a very clear vision. He's very aware of everything. The Bible's very clear about this. In fact, if you read in Psalm 139, verse 4, God tells us this, before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. Think about what that particular passage is teaching us this morning. Before I say a word, God knows it completely. Think about how many words I've just spoken already this morning. God is already on to my next one, and I'm not even sure what my next one is. God absolutely knows, and the same is true for each and every one of us. He searches us, the same psalm says, he searches us and knows us in every way. He watches over us when we are asleep and when we are awake. And God is absolutely weighing every one of our motives, and that might sound scary to us. God is weighing out our motives. He's knowing everything that's going on. People, get with the program. I heard this the other day. Farmer that I'm aware of that lives in Iowa, he got to see a picture of himself on satellite. It was this spring. He was out planting in the field, and he got out of his tractor and got behind the planter and started to dig up in the dirt to see, you know, if the seeds were actually at the right depth. And the satellite zoomed in so close to him out in his field behind his tractor that you could read the words on his cap. Think about that. From space, a satellite can focus in on a farmer in his field, bent down behind his planter, to read the words on the bill of his cap. You think you have privacy? You don't think people are not weighing your motives? I'm afraid to go outside in the trees and go potty anymore after hearing that story. People, it shouldn't make us nervous that God sees everything. We already have, Joe Biden can spy on us. Give me a break. The technology is there for people to spy on people. God is the least of our concerns because he's holy and just and righteous, and he absolutely wants what's best for us. So we shouldn't be afraid that God is watching us, that God is taking care of us, and that he's weighing out our motives. But what that teaches us should be how invested God is in your life. Think about all the people you know in the world, people that you've met. Are they that invested in you? God is that invested in you. He knows everything about you. So there's no point in trying to hide anything from God because God is aware of it all. God knows it all, and he absolutely wants what's best for us. So we shouldn't be wanting to seek our independence from him, but we should depend on him because he knows exactly what we need. He knows we needed forgiveness, and what did he do? He sent his son, right? And when he sent his son, the world rejected him. They rejected his miracles. They rejected his love. They rejected his grace. They rejected his teaching. They put him to death on a cross. But he didn't stay there. He didn't stay in the tomb either. The world rejected Jesus, but Jesus was exactly who the world needed. And remember what Christ's response was? As God is weighing out our motives, as Christ was weighing out our motives as he hung on the cross, what were Christ's words? What was his prayer? He looks down on the people that are making fun of him, who have spit on him, who have whipped him, who have beat him, who have nailed him to the cross, who have cried out for his crucifixion. And his prayer to God was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I don't think we should have to worry about God being aware of our motives because listen to the grace of that statement. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. That statement right there teaches us the heart of God, folks. It shows us that we can trust him and that we can allow him to weigh our motives, and we should be allowing him to lead us in the direction that he is calling us to go. We should seek our dependence upon God and God alone. And if we do, depending on God is going to require us to do a couple of things. The first thing it's going to require us to do is learn that we cannot do everything independently. I'm going to say that again. We need to learn that we can't do everything independently. If in fact we choose to depend on him, I promise you, you will find freedom. You will find hope. If we try to be independent in everything, we basically trap ourselves. And this takes us back to the conversation with Adam and Eve. They tried to be independent. They tried to do things on their own. They tried to do what they wanted to do, and they found themselves trapped. Trapped in their own choices, in their own sin. They exercised their independence to the point where it made them slaves. It's so true in life. I think about all the things that I do. And I like to do a lot of different things, but I can't do everything. I can't. I'm not capable. There's things I just don't know how to do. I don't have those skills. I don't have those abilities. I can't cut my hair. I don't have the capability. I can't see my head, and I can't run the scissors, and I can't run the clippers. And believe me, I don't have a very difficult haircut. There's a lot of things in life I can't do. There's a lot of things when I'm working on something, I wish I had a third hand. I only have two. Do you have the same thing in your life, that there's just certain things that you're not capable of doing? We need to rely on somebody else to help us. Why is it so hard for us to rely on God to help us? Why are we so much like Adam and Eve, where we want to assert our independence and say, God, no, I don't need your help? And in doing that, we become slaves to what traps us: sin. We can't save ourselves. And if we try, we'll lose our freedom. The second thing we need to learn is that we need to surrender our will. We have to understand that our will, bottom line, my will, what I want done, is sinful and flawed. It's not God's will. God's will is perfect. It's sinless. Our will, my will, your will, is flawed. It's sinful because we are sinful. Now, I know most of us understand, and we talked about this earlier, that we like to get our way. Anybody here like to get their way? Yeah, we got a few honest people. The rest of you, put your hand up. You like to get your way too. Your way is, I don't want to put my hand up. So you're exercising your will. We like to get our way. We like to have things done the way we like to get them done. We like to have the freedom to make our own choices and to make our own decisions. Don't we? And if we're honest, we'd like other people to do things the way we want them done, right? Because we don't trust other people to make the right decision. So we need to force them. We see this at play in our world, don't we? We need to force them to do things the way we want them done, because my way is the right way. Wrong. God's way is the right way. We need to be at work learning to surrender our own will, because we have to see that our own will is flawed. It's sinful. Even if we like our will, even if we like, and we think if everybody would do what I want them to do, it would be the best for them, I guarantee you, you will find at some point your way is wrong, because it's not God's way. And so we need to learn to surrender our will, our way, to God's will and God's way. We need to learn to say yes to Him, or we'll never experience true freedom. There's an old story about King Midas. Do any of you, I don't know that they teach about King Midas in school anymore, but do you remember the story of King Midas? King Midas really likes gold, and King Midas wanted everything to be gold. And so he got this ability that whatever he touched turned to gold. So if King Midas was here and he touched the pulpit would turn to gold. Pretty soon, King Midas made a mistake. He was so infatuated with gold, he began to touch people he loved. And you know what happened to them? They turned to gold. King Midas was exercising his will, and he ended up losing everything he really cared about. He thought it was gold, but it wasn't. It was the relationships he had with people. And his life was miserable. We think we want our will. We think we want our way. We want our will, no matter what it is, no matter what we touch, we want it to be done the way we want it to be done. But soon we'll find out, if that comes to be the case, that we'll be miserable. Instead, take my word for it. Take King Midas's word for it. Surrender your will to God, and you will not be disappointed. God's will is perfect. God's will is pleasing. God's will is exactly what each and every one of us need all the time. Remember Psalm 139? God knows all these things about us, and he knows what's best for us. He knows every word we're going to speak before it's even on our tongue. It's important for us this morning, as we close our time here with our proverb, to remember this. True freedom and independence is found in surrendering ourselves to one, God, and God alone. So let today be a day you celebrate independence, because you're in dependence on him and him alone. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have given us the opportunity to live in freedom, and that you created independence. But Lord, don't let us take it too far. Instead, Lord, help us to learn to depend on you today. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.